Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop/shop/shoppe. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The wave is powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Some people are good afternoon. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. We're worldwide. Thank you for listening to the show. I am your host, Brian Hammer Jackson, and this is the Hammer Radio Network. We have a great topic today. Normally, we'll talk about politics. I'm just sick of talking about Trump. Just sick. Trump wants to troll and gets people to talk about him. He needs to be in the news every day, so he'll troll. If you're a Trump supporter, I don't know how you could do it. Sick of it. I'm sick of him playing us, sick of him calling us a joke and putting things in the news that so we could talk about him. The latest thing about Trump is that, of course, everybody knew what was coming, that his stall tactics about the Mar-a-Lago FBI raid, that they cannot agree on the master. Who would have thought? Who knew? Why would? Because he's going to stall. We're tired of it. We're sick of it. We're sick of him. That's the latest if you want to get your Trump news. He's stalling. He asked a judge to not let the FBI look at certain things just now. It's just a mess. And we're sick of this old dude. Go away. Till title of our story or show, Till Death Do Us Part, Tom Brady and the Seven Stages of Death and More. It's interesting. We will have in our lifetime death. Someone closest to us and blah, 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 blah. Death. A lot of us can handle it. A lot of us turn to God. I do have a clergy who lives in my complex. His father was a pastor. He became a pastor. The rest of his life, he was in Kentucky. Then he went away from the church. He got into drugs, alcohol. He became a counselor. He started hanging out in California. Well, California, of course, what you got to do is you go to a bar where there's porn stars or hang around with that group and everything. He's in his 70s now. He's ill. He walks with a cane, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know why this subject came up, but the subject came up about heaven over the weekend. I saw him. And he says, you know, Brian, I don't think there is a heaven. This guy's got, you know, this guy was a clergy. And that's kind of startling hearing it from him. And we had that talk. And I know George Carlin did a bit about, you think there's an old white guy up there, the all universe, and everything, every universe in the world he controls and things like this. I always had this little problem on Facebook or TikTok or whatever. When somebody's ill, they would ask people to pray for them, which I think is the most ridiculous, stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. And I think it's ridiculous. And the reason why I think it's ridiculous is because God already made up his mind. Do you think you're going to change God's mind? If God says, you know, I'm going to take you, and you think you, mere mortal, can convince God that he's making a wrong decision? Think about that for a minute. So you think your prayer is like, please, God, don't take this person, or please, God, make them go well, please. You think you're going to change God? If there's a God, you believe there's a God. Do you think you're going to change God's mind because you merely wanted to? I don't think so. So I think it's ridiculous. I think, please pray for me. I think it's ridiculous. Now, some people say, well, maybe if enough people pray, it might change God's mind. You think about that for a minute. Really think about that for a minute. If God, go to you guys. If you decide to have children at a young age, and you get all these people saying, it's not a good idea about your career and this and this and this, but you and your husband or your husband and wife, whatever, said, I want to have children, is anybody really going to talk you out of it, no matter the family or your friends or whatever? If you decide that you're going to do this, oh, no, you should go with your education. No, you're too young. No, you're not financially stable. Blah, 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 blah. Do you going to say, hey, honey, you know what? They're right. Our decision was completely wrong. We don't know what we're doing. We need help. We're listening to the audience, and the poll says we are too young to have. Do you think that's really going to happen? Do you think that's going to happen? So do you think that your prayers to the Lord, to the God, to the Lord, is going to give God some kind of pause to say, maybe I was wrong about this person. You know, maybe they have cancer and enough people love this person and he put good things on earth. I'm going to take it away and give him more life. Maybe I was wrong. I should listen to them. You really think God is going to listen to you? That's like you're listening to your children. Now, if you're saying that we are all God's children, it's like you are listening to your children. You're driving along and your five-year-old says, I don't want to go to the doctor, or I don't want to go here. And then you say to your wife, he may have a good point. What were we thinking? What were we thinking? I think I'll turn around the car and take him to Disneyland. I don't know what we were thinking. I mean, I knew that he had to go to the doctor, something wrong, but he said that he didn't want to go. We should be listening to our five-year-old. And I feel the same way. I feel the same way about prayers. I feel the same way. Do you really think, if you believe in the Lord, do you really think that all your prayers is going to change the mind of the Lord? You're nuts. We have a special lady in the studio. I just got to say hello to her. Good morning, Queen and lovely Laverne. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning, Brian. Good. And listening audience.
Good morning, sweetheart. But I don't know if you hear with me just going on and yammering about this, but I get annoyed when people say, please pray for me. It's like if you believe in God, let's go with this. If you believe in the Lord, do you think the Lord's going to say, Bobby's right. What was I thinking? I don't know what is the concept of you guys praying, thinking you're going to change the Lord's mind. I have this problem. Do you ever think about that, Laverne?
No, I never thought about that, but I do know that I have prayed. And that my prayers was answered.
Yes.
I do know that. So that puts me in the category of believing that prayers work.
Okay. Good.
Now, Now, in that prayer, now I could have aligned my thoughts to just know that it was going to happen, or I could have took out the worry of it happening and caused it to happen. I think it could be many factors in that prayer, but the prayer did work.
Okay, now I'm gonna give you another scenario. Let's just say you're on Facebook. You don't really know this person, but you are a friend of this person. You know, it's my grandfather. It's somebody you don't even know. You're praying for them. God's going to look at you and say, you don't even know this guy. You don't even know this guy. Why are you praying for this guy when you don't even know him? And I call them false prayers because, all right, I'm praying for your son. You get it on Facebook. I have done it. I have admitted it's a dirty, dirty thing to do. It's like, I don't know the person. I hardly know the person on my Facebook. I don't even talk to the person. I signed on, and I got, oh, please pray for me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm sending out prayers. I don't pray for them. I'm not wasting my prayers. Maybe I got a couple left at work. Why am I wasting my prayers? I know it's bad of me, but come on. It's just so salacious. It is so condescending. It is so narcissistic that, okay, I'll pray for you. I want to show you I'm a good person. I'm showing you guys and your group, I don't know this bastard. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he has. I don't know what he, you know, if he's going to hell or heaven. I'm going to send my prayers up to the Lord. And the Lord's going to go, hey, Brian, what are you doing? I said, well, Lord, you know, I really don't know this person, and I want to pray to make sure they're okay. And the Lord says, well, I already made my mind, Brian. I'm going to take well, God, please don't take him. I mean, we got so many people who love him and everything. We just want you to make him better. And God goes, do you know this person? No, I don't know this person. Get the hell out of my cloud. Get out of here. Get out of my head, Brian. I don't think the Lord's going to do that.
Those that are Bible believers, there's a story in there that I think it was Nicodemus that prayed to God because God was going to take his life at one point, and Nicodemus prayed to him, and he changed his the timeline of his death.
And when did he die? The weekend after?
I have no idea, but I do know that it was a story.
I have no idea how that ends. Well, I don't know Nicodemus. I don't know if his name is Nicodemus. I don't think. Hey, that sounds racist. I don't know. I just don't believe. I understand. And it may delay the process. We're all going to die. We all got a time. We got a date. I don't know what's going to change that date. I don't know if you're changing that date so the suffering can continue. Because if you're at this point where somebody has to pray for you, there's some suffering involved here. So if I'm praying for someone, am I delaying the suffering and inevitable that's going to happen to this poor bastard? Or do I let God take him so he can go in peace and be have a peaceful life? See, what am I praying for? Am I praying for more suffering because I don't want to let this person go, but meanwhile this person is suffering every freaking day? So I'm going to pray for the Lord. I'm going to say, Lord, please don't take him right now. Lord, help this. And like you just said, they did prolong his life, but how long? Because eventually we're going to die. But in the meanwhile, let's say you did it. Good job, Laverne. Now the motherfucker is waking up in the morning, and he's suffering every day. Nothing. I mean, it's not like God took care of his pain and suffering. He just prolonged his death. So if you know, and it's a good question, Laverne, if you know that your prayers is just going to prolong his life but not take away his suffering, would you pray?
You pray, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm. Thy will be done. That means God, thy will be done. Doesn't that tell you that God just...
When you actually believe in your prayer and you said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So even when the person passes on, you'll have a better feeling about that death.
Right.
Because you say, well, you know, that was his will.
It's out of your hands, right?
Right.
And it's in God's hands.
Right.
And you just want to let God know, God, this is such a person. And my pain, and you think we're praying because of our pain, or you think we're praying because, God, you know, don't let him suffer or whatever. I understand in certain prayers, I would pray differently. Lord, please, you know, please take care of his soul and to relieve his suffering or her suffering. And please take care of this matter. We love them so. I guess it's how you pray. But when you go on the salacious prayers and the bullshit of, okay, sending you prayers, and then we'll give the emoji hand to prayer, to me it's such a blasphemous kind of thing because it's so personal. And I see these fools on Facebook. They don't give a fuck. Yeah, sending prayers, and here's my hand. I mean, to me, it's a slap in the face for something so personal. How do you feel about that, Laverne, that you know is something so personal? You're going through something
I don't look at well, when it's so personal and want to change that situation, then those that are praying for you, everybody prays about the same, and you don't want everybody to pray for you. But if they are all on one accord, of one mind, of one thought, then I believe that it can happen.
I hope so. And I'd love to hear the other side. And you are a champion, and you explained it so beautifully. I like to believe that. I want to believe that. I don't know if I have the power to. Yeah.
But remember, like you said, some people need to believe it.
Yes.
You know, because that's what helps them.
I made a joke, and it wasn't really a funny joke. We need to believe that this is not it. I mean, what happens if it's time for us to die and then we just go to the ground? And it's like, this is it? This is what I'm living right here? It has to be more than this. And I would be so disappointed if there's nothing more, you know? So human beings have to have that hope. They have to have that belief that there's something more afterlife, that it would be too painful for us to leave our loved ones forever and ever and ever, and our loved ones will know that they will never, ever see us again. That is just too painful for the human soul. So do we make up a story that we will see them again in the afterlife?
No, you don't make up a story. Because there are those that believe that they are eternal beings.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have a beginning and they don't have an end.
Right.
So they know that, or they believe that's not the end for them. Because whether there's a heaven or a hell, they believe that their spirit is going somewhere else other than just death, non-existent.
Well, I told this story what changed my mind about heaven and hell and belief. And it took a dog to do it. Told it many times, and I don't want to really tell it again because I would bore people. But I'm on at a different time right now. I'm in East Coast right now, 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There might be a new audience. I want to say hello to Virginia, baby. My girlfriend's in Virginia right now. You love Virginia? Yes, Virginia, there is a hammer. Hey, you see what I did there?
Yeah.
Still got it, right? I still got it, Laverne. I still got it.
You got it. Yes, sir.
I will be there in 5 days, Virginia. I will be there in 5 days. I will be in Virginia. And love Virginia. Beautiful country. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to Virginia. Okay. If you'd like to come in
Brian,
the store.
Okay, look at it.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Huh?
No, go ahead and give your little broadcast, your little announcement.
My little, your little broadcast. Go ahead. I got things to do. Go ahead and do your little thing. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go on. You just go ahead and do your little thing. No, what's up, sir? What's up, sweet? Your little show. Yeah, you go ahead, little man. You go ahead. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Now, remember when doctors, they do researches and they use the placebo?
Right.
So, and it's a known fact that if you believed that what they gave you worked, it worked for you. And but they know that they didn't give you nothing but a sugar pill.
Right.
So it's what is your mind, it's your own mind
that
governs your reality and your experiences.
That is true. That is true. The Power of Positive Thinking. There's a book. It's by, I love this guy, Tony Robbins. He used to be my mentor. I mean, mentor, I never met the man, but I mean, I just love this guy. But The Power of Positive Thinking. Your mind can control your reality.
What you say. You can. If you say you can, you can't. If you say you can't.
Yes. And I do believe, and they have had scientific studies to prove that it's accurate. The way you think and the way you feel, people have healed themselves. Really quickly, then we'll go for a break. And on that same subject, one time I had a hideous, horrendous toothache. It was on a Saturday. It was Saturday night. I remember it was Saturday because I had fear that I could not see the dentist for 2 days, and the pain was just so bad. And you took the aspirin, and I did the trick that you take the aspirin and you set the aspirin on the AFSAP tooth and let the aspirin melt. And then I did everything. It was so bad. And then I started meditating, and I saw, no, I'm serious. In my mind, I saw the abscess, I hope I'm using the right word. I saw the tooth, the bad tooth. In my mind, I concentrated so much, and in my mind, the tooth had like a hole in it or whatever. And in my mind, it slowly and slowly, I started to close the hole of that tooth to heal the tooth, basically. And I'm going to tell you, with my hand to the Lord, and I usually don't say that because, you know, I'm giving high five to God, high five to the Lord, the pain stopped. It stopped. I am not freaking kidding you. That horrendous pain stopped. I saw in my mind that I was healing the tooth. That's basically what I saw. It didn't heal the tooth. No, it didn't. But going to that, maybe that hypnotic thought process,
right,
if you will,
it
took away the pain. It took away the pain. So, yes, I do believe in the art of positive thinking. And I do believe that the other side, if you think the worst things, I do think it's bad for your system, your mind, and everything else. And it can generate other problems. Yes, I do. I think that.
Yeah, I have even heard that they're saying that a person really didn't have to die, but because of your mental that you do, because you feel like that's a part of life. And that could be true,
right,
but I still believe that everything has a season for everything, life and death. You know, because I say, well, even these people that tells you this in lectures and stuff, they still pass on one day.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know nobody that has lived on Earth forever. So, you know,
right,
I kind of play around with that notion of you don't. You know, there's a way that you don't have to if you don't, because I'm saying, well, I don't see nobody that even that teaches stuff like this. They still die too, so I don't know.
Right. Even Medusa lived 200 years. Eve lived 150 years. Adam lived about 200 years, I think. I mean, if you believe that, it's in the Bible. 200 years. And they still died. Imagine that.
Yeah, they still died.
Wow.
Yeah.
They still died. 199. It's like, there was, when I was a kid, my mother took me to a play. It was Porgy and Bess. And I know white folks don't know it.
I think it's Porky. Wasn't it Porky?
No, Porgy. I thought it was Porky for a while. It was Porgy.
Oh, really? Porgy. Okay.
It was Porgy. P-O-R-G-Y. Porgy and Bess.
Okay.
I thought it was Porky, too.
I sure did have a fork in the belt all this time.
All this time. Some of you guys might know the most famous song that came out of Porgy and Bess was Summertime. Summertime and the living is easy. Remember that? Hush.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
I seen that when I was a child, so I don't remember.
I know,
I can't
right?
even tell you what it was all about.
That came from Porgy and Bess. It came from that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if you don't know some black folks and you want to get to know some black folks, here's what you do. You get your cup of coffee at Starbucks and you sit across from the table and you just sing, Summertime in the Living. I guarantee black folks will whip their head around at you and you become one of us. Here's a little bit of
you
that, right?
So, huh?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I think white folks know the song, too. Here's a little bit of that, so you know what we're talking about. And the story behind Summertime, was it about the baby that the baby had colic or the baby was upset and she was just trying to rock the baby to sleep or kind of soothe the baby? I'm trying to remember that scene.
I don't remember none of it.
No. Well, here it is right here.
No,
here's
I
a little
don't.
Song. And we're still. Hey, I know people are tuning in. What the hell is this? Our main topic is till death do us part, and we're talking about death. Tom Brady. We're going to talk about Tom Brady and Gazelle, and she left him, and we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the seventh stage of the death because we're going to experience it. And then some people experience it now, but sometimes we get sidetracked on the show. I got 3 freaking hours to cover, people. So sometimes we get sidetracked. But this is a good sidetrack because you should know Summertime. And I really think, I'm trying to remember, I'm thinking this is about a baby that had colic and she was trying to quiet the baby and she was singing to the baby. But listen to the original Summertime from Porgy and Bess. And here's Ella. Here's Ella Fitzgerald, the queen of the queen, man. Ella. Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, Aretha Franklin, man. If you never heard these people, you got to Google them or you got to YouTube them because, man, you'll never hear anything like that in your life. I mean, just the richness of the music. You know what I'm saying? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's Ella singing the same thing, just a little bit. There's a little difference. Just here's Ella. Right there. You're not going to hear that anywhere else. Yeah, baby. That's it. The soul in you. Even white folks got soul right now. Listen to this. Isn't that beautiful, Laverne? It's just beautiful, man. Just hearing those voices, those heavenly voices. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson and with Laverne. 111. You don't have to talk 111, but if you want to, you can. I'm going to leave your mic open. You can judge for yourself what you want to do with it. The reason I went to Porgy and Bess was not for summertime. And we're talking about death and life and stuff like that. And so I mentioned something like Adam. Adam lived to be 150 years old. Eve was like a Medusa was 200 years. You know, that's what the Bible said, not me. So in that show, I was a kid. My mother was one of these people like, son, I'm not kidding you. Every weekend we went to the museum. You're going to get some culture in you, son. Every weekend we went to the museum. Then we went to the opera. The little black boy. Yeah, little black boy. Then we see the plays, you know, when we're kids. This is what she wanted to teach us. And I remember as a child when Summertime came out or Porgy and Bess, there was one song with Sammy Davis Jr. in it. And it was like, ain't necessarily so. Now, I don't know if you guys ever heard it, Laverne. Have you ever heard Ain't Necessarily So?
I have, but I really don't remember the lyric or whatever, but I do remember the name.
Right. Well, Ain't Necessarily So is about everybody's religious in the summertime and God and this and this and this and the Lord and Jesus Christ and let's testify and all this kind of stuff. Sammy Davis Jr. in the play or in the character was a kind of skeptic. So he comes up with a song called It Ain't Necessarily So. And Ain't Necessarily So, meaning the stories that you hear in the Bible, ain't necessarily so. That was his thing. And there's one line in there about Medusa that even as a child to this day, as a grown-ass man, I laugh my ass off. And I'll play it. It's only 4 minutes. But he says a line about Medusa, who lived 900. It was Medusa lived 900 years. I guess it was 900 years. That was the song. So
okay,
he's singing this
Medusa?
Song.
Medusa? Are you saying Medusa or Methusalem?
No, Medusa.
Medusa? I thought Medusa was the lady with the
snake,
hair,
right?
With the
okay.
big hair, yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to see. Medusa. I hope I got it right. You know I'm not no Bible guy.
Medusa? I think it's Methusalem.
Oh, okay. You might be right. Here's Medusa. Let me see here. Right here I have Medusa. That's one you're right with the snakes in her hair. There would be an interesting story how she got the snakes in her hair. We're not going to go into that. It's not this kind of show right now. But I'm always interested in it. I think he said Medusa. So I'm not. You'll hear it. But he said they lived 900 years. This person lived 900 years. And the line was the funniest line I ever heard in my life. Here it is, right here. Sammy Davis Jr. singing "It Ain't Necessarily So," and he's talking about the stories in the Bible. Here it is. It's hard to listen to. You got to remember this is way back in the 40s, y'all. But listen carefully.
And the Lord said to himself, I gotta get busy and make me some kindles. Yeah. So he made Adam. And then he sees that Adam got one extra rib to spare.
Right.
So he takes that extra rib and he makes woman from a sparrow.
Right.
The Lord got kindles. The Lord got
kindles. That's right. Kinfolk. The Lord got you. And the good book got you. You all got the good book, man.
But it ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so.
Little David was small, but oh my.
Little David was small, but oh my. He fought big Goliath, who lay down and died.
Little David was small, but oh my.
Wadu,
Wadu,
Zimbabwe,
Zimbabwe,
Gadawa,
Gadawa,
Gadawa. Oh, Jonah, he lived in the whale.
For he made his home in that fish's abdomen. Oh, Jonah, he lived in the whale. Little Moses was found in a stream.
Little Moses was found in a stream.
He floated on water till old Pharaoh's daughter, she fished him, she said, from that stream. Tell all you chillin', the devil a chillin', but it ain't necessarily so.
He'll get into heaven,
don't snap or seven, live clean, don't have no fault.
Amen.
Oh, I I take that gospel whenever it's possible, but with a grain of salt. Methuselah lived 900 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. But who calls that living when no gal will give in to no man what's 900 years?
I miss this good stuff, you know, in those movies and everything, this simple stuff. Cause I've been watching these movies now that has nothing but Jurassic Park CGI, and it has all these other bullshit. You have all these other illusions and special effects, no story whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there's a good story, and you just got to – it's just good story. Anyway, that's Sammy Davis Jr. That's Porgy and Bess. If you never seen Porgy and Bess, shame on you. Shame on you. And you can go to YouTube and Google some scenes. And I enjoyed it. Did you, Laverne?
Yes, I did.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, like I really said, did. I was a child, though. So.
We were. I was, too. I was actually 35.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I enjoyed it. So, you know, we're going to get into that. And Tom Brady, you know, tells you, handsome dude, football star, 45 years old, and still playing football. 45. 45. And suited up and playing football. Saw him last night. The guy had like maybe he has like six houses. His wife is a famous model, Giselle, very beautiful. The kids are very beautiful, but yet no matter if you're a football star, all the money in the world, all the houses, and your wife still leaves your dumb ass. His wife left him. Giselle left him. We're going to talk about that. So, you know, you think you have problems as a male mortal making $50,000 a year? Damn. They got the same problems. Oh, who said it? Was it? I know Jay-Z was taking the credit, but it wasn't Jay-Z who said it. But I forgot who originally said it. But more money, more problems.
That's hey there, Brian.
More money, more problems. Yes, Satan. Speak.
Yeah, I was just saying, I was listening to an ignorant wretch try to disparage the Bible, and I was just wondering, was that you?
It could be. Who else is an ignorant wretch?
Yeah.
many ignorant rich do you know, sir?
Right. There you go. That's one of your better jokes, by the way. So look here. The Bible is one of the most accurate records we have for an event that's unrepeatable and no one witnessed except the Creator himself.
Right.
So I think rather than just trying to cast dispersion on the Bible as an ignorant wretch,
right,
you might want to give an alternative scenario.
As what?
Oh, that's for you to produce. I'm not going to help
you. I can't.
You
I'm too ignorant. You're asking an ignorant wretch to produce. Well, you're an ignorant wretch, but hey, why don't you produce this?
Well,
no.
That's sort of axiomatic, and I appreciate self-evident, and I appreciate you for saying so.
Here's what goes on, in my opinion. If you
how the hell are you, Brian, first of all?
I'm doing good, Mr. Lucian. How the hell are you? How are you doing, buddy?
Fan-friggin-tastic. Go ahead.
There you go. Miss Laverne's here, and I know you love
Laverne. Hi,
Laverne.
How are you?
I know you
Hi,
love Laverne.
Mr.
You leave
Laverne
Lucian. Off, you pervert. Look at you. Quit leering at my Laverne. Satan and yourself. You Satan.
All right. Proceed with something sensible.
I will. I damn you. Good morning, beautiful. I hope everything's okay. Everybody, Melissa's in the studio today right now. Here she
is. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
It's Porgy and Beth. Not Beth. Not Porgy. It's Porgy.
No, Porgy. G-Y.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. I challenge you, Missy. I challenge you. Where is your evidence?
I just watched a little small clip on YouTube of a woman who actually knew Porgy and Beth.
Porgy. You're looking at the retarded version.
She
what?
Said Porgy. Porgy.
No, it's Porgy.
Back me up, Solution. Back me up.
Well, spell it, Melissa.
P-O-R-G-Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
Porgy. It's Porgy.
It's Porgy.
P-O-R-G.
No J in there.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
You're being
douchey. Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm
so you're saying
you.
P-O-R-G-Y is G and not G?
Yes, Porgy. Porgy and Beth.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds phonetic, Brian. You're usually wrong, so go with it.
You son of a bitch. I'm going to come back and kill you.
Here we go.
I'm going to have to challenge Melissa, but I think she has a good argument there. I think she has a good argument, but I'm going to have to challenge. But she's usually right. She
does
her homework.
It's phonetic.
Right.
The music was
and
beautiful,
so
though, wasn't it? Beautiful music.
Oh, wasn't it? Wasn't
yeah.
It beautiful? It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story told.
Yeah.
And I saw the play as a child. Just a beautiful story. I miss those stories. The worst thing I saw was, like I said, Jurassic Park, and all it was CI. CGI, I'm sorry, CGI, you know? I am so sick.
Jurassic Park. I like the original.
The original had somewhat of a story and less dinosaur, but when you had the last one I just saw was more dinosaur, no story, just
was
dinosaur. It was horrible,
it's
just like Mr.
Loved
Solution.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They love dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They love them.
Yeah. They would like it. You know what they're going to love? They have Avatar? What is it? Avatar. Avatar is coming out in a couple of weeks. They will love that scenery, too.
Yeah.
Avatar?
Yep.
Yeah.
Avatar.
The part two?
Two? Three? Oh, okay.
Yeah, two. No. It's been that long since they have, I think it's, is it two or three? It has to be two, because I don't remember a two, three. I mean, I don't remember a two.
I'm thinking it's a two.
Is
there another war?
I might be. Did you see it, Mr. Solution?
Sure. I saw the first one. You know, most of those stories, let me just tell you this. Most of those stories, if you think of like Clint Eastwood and, of course, Avatar, all of those are like an expression of Jesus Christ, of God coming to save mankind. That's who Clint Eastwood usually portrayed, believe it or not. And, of course, Avatar was definitely that.
Mr. Solution, I thought Avatar was about when you dream, in your dream state, that was your real reality rather than your awake state.
Hmm, interesting.
Well, Avatar, just to go by the movie, what I saw, what was the name, the British actor? What was the actor?
I'll be honest with you. I briefly saw it. I don't remember seeing it. I took some girls.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It
was cast in Hawaii, by the way.
Oh, was it really?
From what
I did not know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was about a savior. Remember when the woman, she was, well, it was an invasion. They were going there to obtain, what it was, unobtainium? Interesting word. But, so the movie was about the Avatar, the guy who, and I forget his name, but he assumed that body, and in that body he saved those people. So it was, I don't know if you had ever seen the Clint Eastwood, but if you read about the origin of the theme of many of the Clint Eastwood movies and others, it's about a savior, so they take that theme out of the Bible, a savior coming to, rescue mankind.
It's always about that, though. I mean, you can always be a hero to save the day. Every
he always
story
comes in
has...
as a drifter, stranger.
Exactly.
Right?
The outer towner who saves the town. Or whatever. Wait just a second.
Now, if you remember the one where the girl prayed because, these marauders, the girl prayed for someone to come and help them. You got it.
111, you're live on the air.
Yep.
111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson and with Miss Laverne and with Mr. Solution and the great Melissa. You're live on the air, 111.
Thank you. Brian, what is it that I can help you with today? Help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is Jesus up there. Help me, Lord. Help me.
I thought that was Sarge. Hey, Sarge is going to convert before he dies.
He's a heathen.
We were heathens at one junction.
I'm all but converted in name only. I'm just about there, Mr. Solution.
Let me just say this. Nothing else.
Have to make the formal investiture, okay?
Right, and that's good. Look here, nothing else makes sense, Brian, because you got the origin of the universe, the fine-tuning of the universe, you got the origin of life, and they're saying now the DNA is comparable to computer code, ACGT.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the chemical markers of DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. So they're saying it's a computer code, but unlike any other that exists, it's supremely sophisticated. And, you have some of your major scientists now talking about life having been seeded on the earth by some extraterrestrials. Well, God is an extraterrestrial.
I really appreciate Mr. Solutions coming in here and making us realize that much of culture and much even popular culture is about allegory. It's either a quest in the manner of Parzival or a reinterpretation of the Messiah story. It is true. You stop to think about it.
Absolutely, because again, Clint Eastwood, and name the movie where he came in and these miners, they were strip mining.
They were calling him Preacher. What's that movie?
Yeah, exactly, Melissa. What was the name of that movie? High Plains Drifter, was it?
I'm not going to
watch no movie that has a grown man smoking a cigar and there's minors in the story. Not going to watch it. Child molestation is Democrats.
It's
a
Kabbalah.
It's a Kabbalah. It's a Kabbalah.
Of minors
to
the labor movement and leftism in general. I can't believe this, Brian.
It's a Kabbalah. I know. But you can't get that deep in Clint Eastwood's story. You got to have the mind of a sponge.
Oh, I love that.
Clint Eastwood movies was very simple movies.
Brian,
come
on, Brian. Have you seen Letters from Iwo Jima? Come on, you can't say that.
Because those movies are very carefully constructed, by the way.
Absolutely.
He's a brilliant director.
And a good movie, you definitely have to go to, you know, the essence of what they're trying to portray. But you're right, Sarge.
I'm
going to
call Clint right now. I'm calling Clint.
He recently passed, I believe.
He did not. Why are you trying to kill Clint Eastwood on my show? You, Satan,
no,
you're
I
trying
think
to kill him on my
passed.
Show. No, he didn't.
But think about it, man. Most of the stuff that we really think are great movies are either a quest movie, like I said, in the tradition of Ulysses or Parsifal, or like I said, the Messiah story. Think about it. Lord of the Rings, huh? Does that come to mind?
And
even
the
Old Man in the Sea.
And many of them borrow that, as you say, the Messianic.
Well, I get
it. But look
here, Brian, how about this one? How about The Devil and Miss Jones?
Oh, stupid.
Hey, can anybody look it up?
Oh, you're going to turn on me. You're going to turn on me in this.
Is anyone near a computer or a smartphone looking up?
I'm looking at it. Clint Eastwood is still alive. Clint Eastwood is still alive. He's still alive.
He's 92.
In fact, yeah.
Well, you know, that was fake news. I mean, I heard...
They do that all the time.
I heard it on the news that he had passed away.
What news are you listening to, The Onion? You're listening to The Onion.
So how old is he, Melissa?
102.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad he's still here with us.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm glad he's still around. He's still doing great work. His last few movies, I found very moving.
What used to be at 92? What used to
see? He does one where he was playing a mule, where he was transporting drugs. Across the border because he was in financial straits and all this stuff. I thought that was really an excellent movie. As he's matured and gotten older, he's really changed his perspective on things.
He can't get more mature than 92.
The progression of his movies.
Yeah,
right.
I know. He's a very mature 92. So young.
Come on. You haven't seen his movies. Honestly,
you still think
about Dirty Harry and stuff like that.
Dirty Harry.
Infinitely more nuanced these days.
Hey, can you imagine the Devil
Brian,
Girl, Dirty Harry and The Devil of Miss Jones, all religious movies?
Well,
hey,
fact,
look, do you ever see
Bloody
Misty for me? Come on. Or what was that
oh,
movie called?
Oh,
the
no,
movie
no,
you
no
need
that was horrible. That was horrible.
Well, they're not necessarily religious movies, but they have the messianic theme in it, messianic
yeah,
theme.
Yeah, no, Play Misty for Me was a horrible movie. Did you know that it was based on
I mean,
a
if you
story?
Like Gaslight, no. You'd like Beguiled. I mean, why wouldn't you? How can you say that? Sam and Sam's movies.
Sarge, I need you on this one. That was based on a true story. Do you remember the radio guy that there was an obsessed fan? He met her, and she shot him on a roof. Do you remember that story? The guy was a very popular radio guy. And he was like one of us, you know, like a shock jock and whatever.
About the guy the killer in Denver?
I don't know, but she shot.
And he was killed by a member of the Order of White Supremacist group. His name was Berg, I think.
Really? I didn't know that story, too.
Robert Matthews was a leader of an outfit called the Order. Was doing bank robberies and whatnot to finance a white supremacist revolution, and one of the targets they went after was this Jewish talk show host in Denver who was heavily criticizing them in their movement.
Yes.
His name was Berg. I think his last name was Berg, but I can't remember his first name. You know, he was assassinated, and his assassination was one of the things that got the FBI on his trail, and they were able to bust him and bring him down. The
right.
order.
Yeah, Play right. Misty was not one of his better movies, by the way.
It was not. I think his acting was atrocious in Play Misty. It was... See, Clint Eastwood is not an up kind of actor. You know, you're not looking at Clint Eastwood to, you know, he's
well,
not
Robin
Williams.
Well, I wouldn't say it was atrocious, but go on.
I'm saying, if you look at his spaghetti westerns, Clint Eastwood never talked. He hardly talked at all because
right.
he was not vocal guy.
The strong silent type.
Yeah,
the
strong
silent. Yeah, you say he didn't have the kind of range you want to see in an actor. Is that what you're trying to say?
He did it in other ways, Sarge. That was masterful. Yeah.
Since you poke fun at
it's of an archetype. And Clint Eastwood is an archetype, and he plays that strength in almost all of his movies.
I bet you he's like that in real life. I just cannot believe that he plays that same kind of characteristic in all of his movies. All of his movies, he's the same character. Even Dirty Harry is the same character as Play Misty for me. If you look at the movie, his character, it's very, I'm not going to say dark, but it's just very subdued. He's subdued, right? In all of his movies.
Yeah.
So
and like I say, he does it so well that he can do it that way.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He does it masterfully. He really is a master in that, and you can read his movies with his eyes or his squint or a sight smile or something. It tells us, you know what I mean? At the right moment, it really.
Well, I tell you what, if you want to look at his ability, though, look at Two Sides of an Issue, which he can do surprisingly well. Look at Flags of Our Fathers, which is about the flag raising on Iwo Jima and the men that were involved in it. And then look at the companion piece to it, Letters from Iwo Jima, which tells the story of Iwo Jima from the Japanese side. You look at them together, and you get an idea about how this guy can make a complete story. It's really quite, I thought it was really outstanding.
Do you guys want to hear a funny Clint Eastwood story?
Right here.
Okay. I went to a doctor's appointment with my husband, and it was a Chinese doctor. And he looked at my husband. He looked him all over, and he said, "You, I'll never forget it." I'm like, "What?" Virgo. You are my Clint Eastwood. And it was funny to me. I had to be there.
There's a little bit of an echo.
Hold on. It might be. You know what? I'm on speak.
I don't know if
can
anyone
hear me?
Else hears it.
I don't
know.
So,
Brian, let
can
me
hear.
Just throw this in. I think
him.
It would be good, since you just kind of licked it around the edges and didn't know really what the hell you were talking about, why don't you have a little bit, as best you can, an examination of creation story. How did we get here? I think it's very important. Every child wants to know it. I think it's a pretty profound question. And science hasn't given us any definitive answers. I don't think it ever will. But I heard you bashing the Bible, and only because I think you have a little bit of scruples left that I called in to. You know, kind of admonish you on that.
Oh, my God. But a little bit of scruples left.
Well, you know, Brian's trying to work his way toward the light. He just doesn't realize it all the time. But he's trying.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Said Brian is trying to work his way back to the light. He doesn't always realize it, but I think he really, at heart, that's what he wants to do.
Well, Sarge, you know, that's one of the most beautiful excavations of a bankrupt behavior that I have ever witnessed. You.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I understand, Brian. That's why I love him so much. That's why I call in and talk to him, because I really think his heart's in the right place. I do. He just can't shake off all of these conceits that he's been brought up with by his leftist associates. And we're trying to help him get through it. We're going to do it, I think, eventually over the long run.
Right. And those great ages that the antediluvians existed, Brian. Brian, are you still there? I hope you haven't gone back to smoking, doggone it. Brian?
But which, but Mr. Solution, what were you saying? Because it's interesting. I'm interested in what you're saying.
Well, I just think. Wait a minute. Which part?
Well, really, that he should really have a.
Yes. Yeah, he should have an honest
creation.
Yeah, he deals with it, and I have to say this, nothing counter to what Sarge says, but Brian deals with the Bible as a jerk, and, you know, he pokes fun at it. It's a very serious document, and it's written as history, because it has genealogy in there, and it has God in there. And God is the best explanation for existence, period, than anything else. You can't get something from nothing. If anything exists, the simple argument, something had to always exist. Because everything has an antecedent, except that which is the ultimate, or what they call the brute, or what they call a brute fact. Go ahead.
Right.
Well, God is the brute.
I seen the video with the, like you said, other a racist planning us on the earth, and the name of it was the Anunnaki. So that was very interesting too.
Wait a minute, say that part again. You saw what?
This video. The name of it was the Anunnaki.
Okay.
And they talked about the creation of humans on Earth.
Okay.
And they were saying that, you know, there were humans, some humans before they started experimenting with us, but they was Homo erectus. And when the Anunnaki started changing our DNA and splitting our DNA, they made us Homo sapiens, meaning intelligent.
Yeah, I would have a problem with that because, you know, you talk about the Anunnaki, and I think those were some sort of Sumerian gods or some, but there's no real evidence for that, and that really doesn't make sense because one would have to ask, where did they come from? You know, where did they derive particular knowledge?
Right. I understand what you're saying, but it's very interesting because
it is.
We really, if you think about it, we were given the Bible by the slave owner. The slave owners gave the slaves the Bible to learn. So it wasn't, it's something that they gave us. It's nothing, and then we just, through generations, believed it.
Well, that's really not true. In fact, that's not true at all historically. If you look at the Coptic Church, just look that up at your convenience, and you'll see that completely circumvents that particular misstatement of history.
Yes,
Coptic
right.
Church
who
is
gave
over
the slave owners the Bible? The Middle East gave the slave owners the Bible.
Right, and that's why he's telling her about the
King James and others who interpreted it again, but it originated in the Middle East.
Well, Sarge, that's why I was telling her about the Coptic Church, because that was established way before the United States.
Yep.
That's over 2,000 years ago. That precedes the U.S. by over 1,000 years.
But, you know, one thing I'm always at a loss whenever I speak to someone who tries to give me this secular, scientific explanation of how the universe came to be. They'll start off by saying, well, a bunch of inorganic compounds came together in some sort of manner, and it synthesized this, and it was a catalyst reaction to this, and X led to this sort of fissionable whatever, and blah, 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 and whammo. The universe came at being after a big bang. And then I have to keep asking the ultimate question, the final question, what put those compounds in place to create all this? How did that come about? They can never give me an answer. They just say, well, these organic thing, or whatever it was, inorganic, organic things that created the Big Bang and created all life in the universe, well, it was always there. So maybe that's God. But they never really have an explanation for what started the whole shebang.
What was the ultimate source of the creation for it all?
And no computer model that they have ever put their particular hypotheses into has come up with an intelligent and linear organization for creation. In fact, you know, none of their information equals us. And I like science. I think science is a wonderful discipline. And the modern scientific method grew from men like Kepler, Newton, Galileo, and all of those men, if you read some of the writings of Isaac Newton, he talked more about theology than he did science. And he wrote the the Principia Mathematica Naturalis. In other words, the book of nature, the mathematical book of nature. But he spoke more about theology than he did science, Isaac Newton, that is.
Well, even if I accept the notion of this hypothesis of the Big Bang that was simply a spontaneous reaction akin to a billion monkeys banging on a billion typewriters for trillions of years, even if I accept that idea, it doesn't make sense because it seems to me you have to have you have to have the monkeys in place or something, you know, whatever. So the best explanation for God that makes sense to me is not a scientific one, but a philosophical one, that God is a circular, isn't linear. God has always been. There's no beginning and no end. And that's something we just can't quite understand yet scientifically, but just is.
Well, we sort of do, Sarge. No. See, the competitors for creation are mass and energy or God. Because if you listen to the scientists, and I listen to some of the most brilliant ones, and they're on YouTube, so it's not like anyone can have access to them. But so those are your two competitors for creation, mass and energy. Or God. So those are the only two options. Because what happens is when scientists talk about creation, ultimately they come up with something like the eternality of matter and energy.
Well,
that's the basic of a scientist. Well, even Einstein didn't argue over much with the notion of God. He might have had some differentiation with religious dogma, but not with the notion of God itself.
But what Einstein did raise is, where did the laws of nature, you know, we just lost Stephen Hawking and Stephen Weinberg.
Hawking!
Stephen Weinberg.
The hawk! The hawk!
Was a Nobel Prize winner.
It's been a long time since the hawk. I have to do a radio thing. Hold on, because we've been on for a while. I have to do a radio thing. Just give me a minute. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. Some of the geniuses are in the show, and I'll name them. We got Melissa, we got Laverne, we got Sarge, and then we got Plus One, which is Mr. Solution. If you'd like to come in and enjoy the join the conversation, the number is 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. We are not your typical blog talk show. Are you kidding me? Those guys suck. They suck. I'm the only one that will bring you enlightenment, that will make you think, that will make you fall in love with me. We are the original. I got high ratings. I can prove it to you. And the reason I got it, my ratings are high as I am. I love it. It's a great show.
There's no narcissism there.
Oh, hell no. We're humble and shy.
Narcissism, excuse me.
No, narcissistic fool. I'm a narcissistic idiot. My number is 319-527.
And maybe Laverne will impress it or call it to your memory. I know a lot of your brain cells have been damaged over the years.
Thank you.
Due to certain activities.
I qualify
that
for special
just
treatment.
Mentioned.
And I get to park really close to stores.
Right. Yeah, rather than just coming on and doing this hit and miss nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you serious? I have to laugh at myself. But why don't
you do
a serious examination of creation? Because those are questions.
I don't want to do it, and I'll tell you why.
Hold on. Let me just point this out.
Kids ask the most profound questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? Those are the three most profound questions of existentialism, right? Those three questions right there.
Oh, that reminds me.
It starts with children. Children
pancakes
ask
is
those
really good in the morning.
Which science
But see, the problem with that is there's no answer.
Well, there are answers. You just don't have them. Wait a minute.
There are answers.
You just don't have them.
No. There's theories.
Yeah, but you don't even have a good
speculation.
Theory. Yeah,
there
you
is
have
no theory.
A good theory, though.
Well, I mean, even the Bible contradicts itself.
The Bible contradicts itself. Who are you to say that
there are answers, Brian? The problem is that all of us don't agree upon the answers, which leads to us positing any number of different answers.
But Brian, what is the contradiction, by the way?
I'm just curious. I'm not going to go down that wormhole
because I got a show to do. But listen.
Okay, but you're a liar, though, because, see, if you're going to
How dare you, sir?
If you're going to say the Bible has contradictions, you should be able to list at least one.
I should.
You can't do it because you're an imbecile.
No, because I'm going to use it as a teaser.
Next week, I
will list my contradictions. It's a teaser.
Right.
Stay tuned for
all right. I understand you're a coward on that issue. But see, the point is you bring it up.
Look at you trolling me, calling me
you
names.
Bring it up,
I called you a
you
gentleman.
Can't...
How dare you, sir?
Okay,
Melissa and Laverne will back me up.
You can't defend it.
I can. I'm using Melissa and Laverne, my character. They will defend me to their death. Right, ladies?
Oh, there you go, deflecting again. But I understand.
Oh, like Donald
your
Trump?
Hell is on fire.
Remember, Donald Trump?
Brian, you're the shock jock.
Thank you, Laverne. Thank you.
He'll bring up the Bible and say it's untrue, and then when someone challenges him,
I'm saying the Bible is full of exaggerations. Listen, you know, back in the day, I'm going to explain something to you. Back in the day, when we didn't have all this TV and radio and bullshit, and going back to the mother country, Africa, legends are told. Legends, stories are told, and they're made to be legends. And these legends become our heroes. It's an exaggeration of what really happened, like David and Goliath in the Bible. They really say that David, who was a Jew, maybe was 5'6", And they said Goliath, and when you're a kid, you're thinking Goliath is a giant. And in the Bible, it says that it doesn't say that he was a giant. It says he was a giant of a man. And it could be interpreted a certain way. So when you're a child, you're thinking, and the fable stories, you're thinking Goliath is like two stories tall, and he's a giant. And I'm just trying to
say to you
that.
There were giants mentioned in the Bible.
Right, but
the land of the giants.
The land of the giants and stuff, right. And it could be interpreted to something else, into the fable, into the legend. The real truth of it is, and some scientific people said it, that Goliath was only 7'2". Now, when I say
Is it 7'2" compared to 5 feet?
Yes.
That is a giant. But not only was he a giant, he was a very skilled warrior.
The language is very important.
Wait a minute. Not only was he a giant compared to them, he was a very skilled warrior.
But if you watch the Laker game, a 7'2" person is a forward, not even a center. There's people who are 7'8" and 7'. But what I'm trying to say to you, to put it in perspective, the Bible is built on legends and stories and fables, as far as my opinion is concerned.
But you don't know that. You're just saying.
You're not competent enough
in the Bible to say that.
I have not said anything against you, even if it's moronic what you're about to say. What I'm saying to you, you know it's true. You know,
and you are totally untutored in that particular field. How the hell can you say anything with authority?
I can
you
because
can.
I read, Mr. Solution. I read. I study. I do read. Like, I can read you. And it's a short story.
Well, let me ask you this. Because you are a wordsmith. What's the,
come on, lady.
What's the contradiction in the Bible? I'm still waiting on
I am trying
that.
To tell you what the contradiction is. I'm saying the contradiction back in the day when the Bible was even formed. You got to remember, we're talking 3,000 years. I don't even know when the Bible came out. I'm not a historian on the Bible. But
well,
I
know
you're
that,
talking about,
but that never
but,
stops
thank
you.
Thank you, but I'm saying that if we're talking over 3,000 years ago, I'm saying stories become legends. Stories become legends and heroes because as they go through tribe to tribe to tribe to tribe, by the time that person arrives, that person is just God. And we do exaggerate. The Bible is full of exaggerations. And you
let
can
me
tell
say this.
By it.
Let me just say this to you. Hopefully
there's
to
part
put that
truth
to rest,
in it,
but
there's many exaggerations and fables.
Nothing
and stories.
Less with people like you. Jesus Christ, who only lived about 2,000 years ago, believed the entire Bible, and he quoted from every book of the Old Testament.
When is JC's birthday then, Mr. Solution? When is JC's birthday?
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
That if you're an authority, if you are authority on Bibles and Jesus Christ, you should know when the man was born. When was he born?
I thought you were saying JC.
Jesus Christ. When was Jesus Christ born? What month was Jesus Christ born?
The historically accurate date. Okay.
I thought you were talking about the rapper. No, there was a little bit.
Oh, my God. No, seriously.
That's what it came
when
across.
When was Jesus Christ?
Well, they know approximately
because
the calendars were changed. But
okay,
they know
okay, I'll give you that.
Jesus
I will give
born,
you
but
that.
But no ancient historian denies that Jesus existed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So if Jesus didn't exist, then the Bibles are nothing but fables and stories and legends. It's a fairy tale. If Jesus
but that's
did
not
exist,
true.
It, I
know,
happen
it,
to think if Jesus Christ was not, if he never existed, then how would the Bible
said?
Be true?
What? You don't put genealogies in legends and fables.
Why
and the
not?
Bible says it's not a fable. You can go to Peter, who was an apostle.
Watch
he
your
said
mouth,
it
sir.
Wasn't a
this
fable.
Is a children's show. Talk about your Peter.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, Brian, bottom
Listen.
Line is this. Where do you get your morals from?
The bottom line is that there are many. They got tired of the original Bible and they have it a New Testament. But if you look at the Old Testament of the Bible, words don't
mean
anything.
Answer my question.
Today.
Where do you get your morals from?
Oh, I watch cartoons.
Well, that it sounds about like that.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Well, you know, the Bible is the best. It best explains where our morals come from. It says that God wrote those in our nature, and then that is a testimony.
Do you really believe
that
Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 years in sandals?
Conscience.
No. I'm
source.
Asking you a question. Do you believe Moses went up to Mount Sinai in sandals? By the way. And brought and made tablets, the tablets of stone, which is very heavy, that he was gone for 40 years and came back, and the people were still there. Hey, how you
well,
guys
first
you haven't left yet?
You
it's like, yes, he didn't leave your house
event.
For 40 years.
You an ignorant wretch,
no,
you
I'm answering you. How can you call me ignorant when I said
Moses
that when,
received the Ten Commandments from God.
Yes.
And as the Bible
there was
further
a little bunny
explained,
rabbit that shit out of
it was
egg.
Angels that were operating on God's behalf that delivered those. Well, the Ten Commandments are what any civilized society follows today.
You are dodging the question. Do you believe that Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 years and came back? 40 years.
I just told you, first of all, that's inaccurate what you said. But I do believe that Moses received Ten Commandments from God, yes. And it
really?
Said nothing
Let's
about
go to the Catholic girl.
That's
Melissa,
that
Catholic
had.
Girl. Let's go to the Catholic girl. Melissa, I don't know if she's there because she's got some things she's doing right now. So I don't know if she's even
I'm
there.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
We're going to the Catholic girl here. Moses went to Mount Sinai. Am I correct,
I'm
gonna Melissa?
I'm going to explain to you something, and I've said it before. I went to Catholic school, but the Bible during that time was not hugely brought up. It was a lot about morals and values. It's very big. So as far as learning the Bible, I'm not the one to ask. Ask Laverne. She knows a lot more about it than I do.
Laverne?
Well, for one, I think
I am a
last
Catholic,
years,
so you can ask me if you want.
Okay, I'll get
your
opinion, too. I'll get your opinion, too. Laverne?
I think that you're missing the years up as how long he's been gone. He probably was in the desert, took his people in the desert for 40 years. But when he went and got the commandments, I cannot remember how long, but I know it was a stretch of period of time, but not 40 years.
And he didn't age. Okay, Mr. Sarge.
Well, how do you explain Nelson Mandela?
Let me correct it.
He was gone for decades, so when he came back to lead South Africa, didn't he?
Well, yeah. Okay, both you guys are right, Laverne and you, Sarge, and Mr.
Okay, but wait, ask me about because look, I went to catechism, and my mother was a devout Catholic.
Wow.
Yeah, my mother was a devout Catholic, and she made me go religiously there. I say it every Sunday.
Okay.
So I still remember a great deal of the magisterium and the tenets of the Catholic faith, yes.
It says here that Moses went up to Mount Sinai for 40 days.
That's a bit shy of 40 years.
Well, I just missed it. But after the golden calf, he went up for another 40 days, and then he went up to the final time for another 40 days. To secure complete forgiveness from God. So a month and a half, and then he was denied to go to where?
The promised land.
The promised land, yeah.
Well, that was because of his disobedience. And you see, even God even judged Moses for where he struck the rock instead of having spoken to it. But that gets into a little bit of the detail. But the basic thing is, Brian, going back to the questions that a child does ask, where did we come from, what's our purpose, and where are we going? And those are profound questions that we all grapple with.
Because there's no answer. There's no answer.
Wait a minute, Brian. Wait a minute.
Well, there is an answer. I keep saying there's no answer.
There are answers
with the answers that are presented.
You're right, Brian.
There's different
answers.
Yes, Laverne. Yes, Laverne.
When I ask those questions, I ask God, I say, who am I, who are you, and why am I here? Okay, now, for the answer for who am I and who is he? The spirit within me told me I am you and you are me. We are one. And when I asked why was I here, I didn't get the answer until much later in life, and that was to find my way back to him.
Well, you know, the first part of what you said, Laverne, has a lot of truth because we are created in God's image. So, theologians, see, we have a lot of the answers. For example, when it says God's image, we're rational, we're personal, and we're moral. After his likeness, I like the way the Catholic Church explains that part, that we were originally created in righteousness, but we fell. At least our federal representative fell.
So there are answers,
Brian. You just have to be open and not so narcissistic.
There's different interpretation of answers to what you want to
believe.
Different
interpretations,
but
some are better than others.
Did you know that they had Ten Commandments for children?
Having different interpretations is not saying there are no answers. That's you that are concluding
okay,
that.
Okay, mister, tell us, who are you? Where did you come from? And why does God don't like you?
Well, see, the point that we were getting at is that obviously all of us came from God. Okay, we're marvelously created, ingeniously created, that can't be duplicated. My purpose, a lot of my purpose has to do with my skills and ability that I acquire during over a lifetime. That's why we educate children. That's why we prepare them. And a lot of one's purpose will come out of that preparation. And where am I going?
You're double talking.
Well, let me finish.
I'm going
as a result of the life I'm living, which is a very good one, and ultimately I die and I go to be with God. That is, my body dies. My spirit never dies.
Well, you may think he's God, but he's kind of red and is hot down there.
It's a beautiful culmination, by the way. It's a beautiful finish,
well,
as life has been. Now, I pray for other people like you who act very foolishly and immature, very sophomorically.
And I thank you for the prayer. They work. Look at the result. I still lack immaturity. Is your prayer really working? You might want to pray for something else. Listen, they have the Ten Commandments.
You know, where they say there's life, there's hope. So, you know, you're still here.
I don't know what you would do if I went away, Mr. Solution. If there was no more show, there's no more Hammer,
We can always test it.
Oh, we could.
Yeah.
We could test it.
Well,
I'll tell you what, you challenge me.
Brian, I don't want to see you go, but I will certainly get along.
No, you wouldn't. You'll be calling Superman Hotline.
Mr. Solutions is speaking to you of duty and things like that. And he's got
Sarge, I like Mr. Solution. I'm just joking. I'm just joking with him. He knows I'm joking with him.
I know you are. I know you are. Like
and,
you said, you're kind of soft.
And I know.
That's why we like
much.
You, Brian. That's
Sarge,
why we like you.
Sarge, I,
but
Sarge,
see, Brian, this
how,
is the problem.
The problem is I know how much Mr. Solution loves me. See, that's
the
problem.
But listen, the problem is you turn a real serious – this is a real serious conversation. And you might die before you get a chance to revisit it, and you'll miss out on a lot of the blessings that you could have otherwise.
I would miss out because then I'll be interviewing God in person and JC and prove I'm right. Listen to my podcast.
Mm-hmm. See, I thought initially, I get it. Now,
I heard that, Laverne. I'm not going to laugh at that.
It comes across as if you're saying JC.
What a groan at the end.
This may be just a bit off topic, but I think there's some relation to it.
When do we ever go off topic?
Can I finish
the Ten Commandments for the children? They got Ten Commandments.
All right, hold on a minute. I'm talking about a defender of the faith who just recently passed, Queen Elizabeth. I just want to get your quick ruminations on the meaning of it all, since so many people have weighed in on it. And I've got a few thoughts on it as well. I was just wondering your take. Remember, she was a defender of the faith. That was one of her titles as the queen.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And all kinds of people are saying all kinds of things about her now that I really think are just crackpot stuff. But I'm just curious as to what you think about it.
I don't know enough about the royal family. I don't keep up with the royal family. I know that there's going to be...
I'm not talking about the gossip. I'm talking about her significance as a... Even though she's not really a constitutional monarch. She's like figurative.
I want to weigh in on that once Brian exhausts his knowledge.
I'm just curious to hear Brian's
take on it, Brian, because, you know, she was about duty. I mean, I would think, okay, here's one of the most privileged women on the planet who had everything at her disposal. But nonetheless, her life was also, in the most curious of ways, a life of self-sacrifice and abnegation.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, because if you look at it, I mean, her schedule every day was jam-packed. She didn't have much time in her life for what she wanted to do other than maybe raise her children.
No, she made the sacrifice.
Have occasions every now and then and sleep.
Right, she made the sacrifice.
Every day she had something to do on her schedule. She had something to do. It was about her duties, which she took very seriously.
Well, she's 96.
And there's a lot more to be said about it
for
just that. I'm just going over there, right? First thing people say is, oh, well, she had all these privileges. She had a royal yacht. She had
Cayenne
Palace. She had Windsor Palace. They're missing the point,
I
think. I
know.
They really are.
Besides, let me ask you a question. First of all, if you go back to the Declaration of Independence, now she's in that lineage. And what about people who say that she raped nations
Christianity. Okay. Sarge, you asked me a question. I'll answer it. She was a symbol of goodness, in my take. Well, not everybody believes. There's no such thing as 100%. There's no such thing.
She extracted a lot of resources out of nations.
Sarge asked me a question about
legacies.
My take on it.
Now, did her lineage steal legacy?
I don't know what legacy. What the hell? I thought I had a show. I can't even talk. I'm going to ask, you know what, I'm going to ask the guy who runs the show to mute you guys. It's a 53 minutes and I haven't even started my show.
Both of y'all have something interesting to say, and I would like to hear both sides.
Yeah.
Well, when you hear the people that come from the countries that recently won their independence, they don't think that she was so great.
Come on now.
They were paying tribute to her.
Okay. My take on it is this. She was the...
Yeah, most of them elected to remain in the Commonwealth. Now, why is that?
I don't even have a word in this show. You know?
Well,
Brian.
Go ahead, Brian. I know this isn't going to be much.
I don't have a word. No, I'm trying to say, for the last 10 minutes, she's a symbol of sacrifice. She's a symbol of goodness. She's a symbol of giving. All that is well and that's good. Same thing. She's on the same level, and some Catholics will get mad at me. She's on the same level as Mother Teresa as far as I'm concerned. Her image and her symbol will live forever of goodness and of sacrifice and for the people. And that's very rare. I think King Charles is going to have a heart. I think this is going to probably be the end of the monarchy. I think it's going to start deteriorating very rapidly. I don't think Charles already comes with controversy, and I don't think a lot of people forgave him with Diana. I think a lot of people are still holding grudges about Diana with Charles. And that horse-faced girl that he's with, oh, my God, Camilla Bowles, Parker, whatever. Oh, I cannot stand to look at her. It's horrible. And I think that's going to hurt him a lot because a lot of people did not want her as their future queen. So I think, what do they say, his sins or sins of the father or whatever, it's going to haunt him. And it's going to destroy the monarchy. You know what I'm trying to say. Because she cannot live up to...
Well, she can't be the queen, Brian. She's going to be the queen consort.
She's a queen
because there's a primogeniture there. She can't be.
Well, just the fact that she is there, sitting on the throne with King Charles, and the history behind those two, which there's some salacious history and rumors about those two when Charles was younger. Unfortunately, I don't think that Black Mark is going to leave him until she's dead. I'm sorry, I'll say it. Maybe when she passes away, I think Camilla Bowles or Parker, whoever she is, I think she is going to taint the whole thing. I don't think people can get...
What's the Royals' approximate net worth?
I don't know, but it's in the billions. It has to be in the billions. But before we go in that wormhole, I don't think King Charles can live up to the image. And when we were talking about earlier today how stories become legend, she's legendary. She was a living legend. Nobody
knows
anything.
Sorry, what's the Royals' approximate net worth?
Why are you talking over me? I was just,
I thought you had faded out. Go ahead.
No, I was almost asking Sarge, and he was agreeing with me. It's just that you cannot, I know, right, Laverne? You cannot live, I'm talking Prince King Charles, up to the stature of Queen Elizabeth. It's impossible. And he would always have that chip on his shoulder to live up to that living legend. And he cannot do it. He has so much salacious rumors and background that he will not reach that height, and it will divide that monarchy. That's my thing. Sorry, anybody disagree with me, I'm done.
For you then, Brian,
anybody disagree with
me
on that?
What's their purpose?
Huh?
What's their purpose? Don't they
have a parliament?
They don't run the government.
Well, the parliament is the one who. Come on, man. The parliament was the one who makes the rules and the laws and they're just symbols. They're just symbols. They're tourist attractions. What they are is the royals are tourist attractions. But it brings in billions and billions to the country. It brings in a lot of money. But they're just tourist attractions. That's all they are.
So they're a relic of the past.
I think yes, I really believe that. And there were rumors when Queen Elizabeth was alive that they went Ireland wanted to break away from them, and or was it Scottish?
I think we're kind of missing why she had such significance to the British people, and by extension to the United States, oddly enough, which is a rejection of the divine right of kings. The United States was set up to reject the idea of the divine right of kings. But there is a reason why this is so important. The United States is here because of Great Britain. We are a nation that is founded on English common law. Great Britain would not have come to be were it not for the monarchy. It was a collection of
warring, rivaling tribes, Great Britain enslaved the United States.
There were tribes that were constantly at war with each other.
The Scots, the Celts, eventually
the Saxons when the Germans came over and invaded, and the Normans and all that other jive. And they couldn't meld around becoming one country. That didn't happen until Alfred the Great. When Alfred the Great was the first true English king, out of that was created that Britain as a nation for the first time. These tribes became a nation. And that is why the monarchy became so revered. It was the glue that held the British nation together for a thousand years and more.
Right.
That's why.
Okay,
and when you have someone like Queen Elizabeth, who even though she's a figurehead, represented that notion, that idea, with such dignity, grace, elegance, and sense of duty.
I agree.
And completely foregone narcissism was out of the question. You did not get that from her to one iota.
Question.
A woman fully devoted to the British nation and to her duty. That is why
the Declaration of Independence.
I keep wondering how big that diaper is for her duty. But you're right.
This is what I mean. Okay.
Sarge, if you can hear me, I would like to ask a question based on what you've said.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words,
the Declaration of Independence
is the utter rejection of the so-called divine right of kings. We fought a revolutionary war, right?
Yes.
And I completely agree with that. So that was about abuses. If you read the chronicling of the abuses in the Declaration of Independence,
I've read it many times.
Okay, well then you see that the monarchy was far more abusive than it was anything else.
Although I'm not denying that, especially under the reign of King George, I'm not going to deny that. I'm saying that the monarchy was an intermediate step to creating the nation of Great Britain. Creation of the United States. Because without Great Britain, there would be no United States. Without Britain. is a direct lineage that notions created from Runnymede, the creation of the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta started to set the whole notion of the United States in motion.
Right.
And the monarchy was a step for us getting to the rejection of the divine right of kings, which I completely believe.
Right.
I mean, I believe that more than almost anything, almost as much as I reject the Democrats and fascism and communism and all the other isms.
But there you go.
The rights of man is a notion in Western civilization that really originated with the British as a nation anyway.
Right.
Well, I think, it's going to be a shame that's going to happen.
So it took the monarchy to get that. Don't you get it?
I understand, but it's going to end.
Subsequent tyrants like Henry VIII and Richard III and all the others who abused
and
their
Robin
powers.
Hood.
Nonetheless, you know, like most painful steps in human evolution,
King Arthur,
particularly
he was a great guy.
Political and cultural evolution, it took all that to get us to the United States.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is all that's going to come to an end right now. It's going to come to the end. And it's a shame. It's going to die with, my prediction, it's going to die with Queen Elizabeth II. Or is it the third? Is it the third or the second? Is it the second?
She's the second. She was the first Queen Elizabeth, was also a great queen, by the way.
Okay, yes.
Well, the goodness
all that tradition.
Wait a minute. The goodness that grew out of it will not come to an end. It's okay if that comes to an end.
They're still dealing with Brexit. They're still dealing with a lot. This shit is serious in UK right now. Things are changing. You think Trump is messing with us? You should see what's going on there. I mean, they're basically in shambles, and they need this.
They have to fix
it. I hate to say this. Listen, I hate to say this when they're diversions. Boy, did they need this. They really needed her to die. You know, it's God works in mysterious ways. Because Britain right now, the UK is under some serious shit. Their economy is a mess. Their parliament's in shambles. Their leadership is questionable. They just got a new prime minister that some like, some don't. Boris did a good job about destroying them in this Brexit business. They really needed something. They needed
something to bring the people in turmoil. And I tell you this, you're going to see more of that when the winter comes to Europe and their gas supply is shut off.
Exactly. We're having problems with the Russian.
The crowds are scouring the Black Forest for firewood, for God's sake.
I know, right?
But they did it to themselves under this dumbass idea of global warming and that you need to get away from fossil fuels. Fossil fuels are no less than miraculous in terms of how it has allowed our civilization to advance.
Let me just say this: we
have on the books today that's comparable to fossil fuels.
You're right. Let me say something. This is how powerful this little old lady was. And I'm not going to talk about her duties.
Before you go there, the UK tried to go to things like wind and solar, which do not work. They do not work. They're intermittent, and they are not of sufficient quantity. And that's why the people, as you said, are scouring the forest for firewood.
Right. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how powerful this woman is. I cannot explain anybody else except maybe Mother Teresa may have this kind of power. Even in death, she has brought nations and the country together like I have never seen before. She made the world. She has brought people all over the world together like you have not seen before. Charles is in big trouble. Let's face it. This business with Prince William and his brother, who's living across the pond, and they're not talking and all that stuff, they're getting tired of this bullshit. They're in trouble right now. But this little old lady who died at 96 years old, sweet old lady, the symbol of goodness and the symbol of sacrifice for country and just sacrifice, you can never live up to a living legend, and now she's deceased. That legend's just going to grow. And King Charles cannot live up to that, especially with Carmella Bowles on his side.
Well,
cannot do it.
Let's also not forget, Brian, that she was coronated in 1952.
Exactly.
She oversaw, not directly, because she didn't have any real authority or power,
right.
But she oversaw as a figurehead the dismantling of the colonial empire, and she put her face on it to all the nations that were colonies
exactly.
of the British Empire, which is
exactly.
one of the reasons why most of them elected to remain in the Commonwealth after they became
right.
sovereign.
Right. She is the reason. She's the reason why Scotland is still honoring her, but they have a little tiff with the UK right now, Britain, and that's why King Charles is over there to talk to some people. This is going to be the end. And, you know, it would be fitting because she should be the end. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to live up to her. This little scandal with Prince William and Harry leaving the U.K., giving up his royal rights to go with a black woman in Compton. Come on, man.
She's an idiot. Too. It'd be different if he picked a black woman.
She's an idiot in a talk show, a podcast thing. Get out of here.
He
cannot
survive.
He could
have picked a better black woman, couldn't he?
She's hot, though. I'll bang her like a drum. She is beautiful. Yeah,
she's
but you know what? An idiot bones. I love an
she's
idiot bones.
She's totally selfish. She is a polar opposite of Queen Elizabeth.
She probably is. But he did pick her. And there's traditionalists out there that are saying they're not having it. They're still not having it. And like I said, they're not having it with King Charles. They're not having this shit. And they're tired of this bullshit with Harry and William. And they're not having it. And those little small
wait,
little
wait a minute.
Punk-ass
Brian,
kids.
Let me just
if I see
in.
Another picture
sorry,
of those small little punk-ass little brats, they need a good
while
beating.
While she may be the polar opposite, I'm not completely disagreeing with you, but she had different conditioning. The standard
sure.
under which, I guess this is Meghan Markle or whatever her name
right,
is.
Right.
She was not
right.
raised under the same conditioning that Queen Elizabeth was.
Sure.
Oh, that's an understatement. Yes, of course.
Well, but that statement becomes an overstatement because it also explains their two existences. Nope.
That's true. Well, we don't have much time. When we come back, Melissa, I call her Queen Laverne, has brought some information to me. And it was very interesting. We're talking about death and this and this. I got a lot of stories to tell. I know people are listening to Brady. But I want you to stay. She sent me a link about the
Oh, Brian, before you drone on, if you don't mind my saying so. Sarge,
on.
Do you know the approximate net worth?
Before I drone on.
Of the monarchy?
But I've heard it's in the neighborhood of over $1 trillion.
Shit.
I mean, it's way up there. I mean, it's immensely. I mean, and it varies depending upon who you talk to.
And
a lot
let
of
me tell you this. Another show you might want to have, Brian, is what the difference that money or resources make in a person's life. Sometimes
what?
That's what. What is the difference
it's so basic.
That having
it changes
resources or possessions?
I understand what you said, but it's so basic that I'm
right.
questioning, why should I have a show? Money will change you, yes. Money will change your perspective on life, yes. I don't know what kind of show that would be. It's very –
I'm saying,
absent
their wealth, would we even care about them?
Yes.
No.
Because
well,
we want them
any,
to fall.
Any head of state of a nation as significant as the United Kingdom is going to be of concern to us, even without
right.
the money.
But wait a minute, Sarge, you're equivocating. They're not head of state.
Well, I mean, she's still considered it's an odd relationship they have. She's considered the head of state, actually.
Let me just say,
even
this is a rare moment
minister,
where Sarge is a little bit
prime
entangled.
Minister,
go ahead, Sarge.
You know, but she still is the head of state in the figurative sense, certainly. So we'd be concerned with her even without her money.
But that's okay. Figuratively is not real though, right?
Now
you're parsing. Now you're going through the wormhole.
Her duties are ministerial mainly, and she does get a briefing every week or every day from the prime minister. That's required.
Okay. I got to go on with the show, guys.
Every major decision prime minister makes, she gets consulted about it.
Okay,
I
got
intervene?
Breaking news. Queen Elizabeth II has died. Okay,
wait a minute,
move
or to controvert, this is important, Brian. More important than what you're going to say.
Really? Well, you know what?
Does she have any power to controvert intervene?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got to look at the title. Oh, it's still Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Ooh, thank God.
You're only a figurehead, Brian. God damn it.
I'm a figurehead.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, though. That is true. Okay, listen,
and guys. You're the goat.
Look, here's what her main duties are as far as the law goes in Britain. She opens the sessions of Parliament, you know, kind of like the Vice President does and the President pro tem of the Senate. She grants.
But you didn't answer my question. Can
she
controvert?
All right, I was going to take a break. You know what? If you guys are smokers, please go. This is the time.
Can she intervene?
Go to the bathroom, have a smoke,
prime minister.
Relax. I'll be right back. I'm going to make my coffee. While you guys talk.
Can she intervene or controvert?
Listen, they didn't even skip a beat.
No, she can't do that, but
I'll
I guarantee
you
her opponents would have a lot to say about it. But they never do. The Queen never did that. Never. Not once.
Right. I understand. But having
she
that
never
kind of wealth is
objected
just
to any law whatsoever publicly. Never.
Publicly. Having that kind of wealth is obscene.
Over the course of 1,000 years, you kind of expect the royal family to accumulate a lot of wealth.
Yeah, but it would be.
That stuff is passed down from one crown to the next.
Did you hear what that professor said out of, I think it was Carnegie Mellon?
She's a jerk. She hates Western civilization, let's face it.
Okay, wait a minute, but let's parse this just a moment. The things that she said, were they true?
No, they were an exaggeration, wildly over-exaggerated.
Okay,
Yes, Britain was an empire, and Britain did commit rapine and plunder, no doubt about it. Okay, so let's get over that. What empire hasn't, out of all the major empires in world history, Britain has got to be the most benign, even when it did do despicable things. I mean, you want to compare the British Empire to the Ottoman Empire? You want to compare it to the Mongols? You want to compare it to the Roman Empire?
Right.
Come on. Yes, they're all brutal. Spanish Empire, please. And if you look at what they left in place when they dismantled their colonialism and left, most of it was a net benefit to the countries they had colonized.
Right. Now, wasn't this woman, wasn't she one of the, okay, didn't she, wasn't her country one of those that had been colonized by the British royalty?
Yeah, and the Romans left the British the beginnings of this civilization, for God's sake. Think about it. It was the Romans that
brought civilization to the British. I think what she was saying, though, Sarge, is that she was directly impacted. She was recently impacted by the abuses that she stated.
Yeah, Lord Mountbatten was assassinated by the IRA, her uncle.
Well,
remember
there you
Lord
go.
Mountbatten, the guy who shepherded some of the major actions in World War II and was a national hero.
And what country was she speaking of, if you recall?
He was the Viceroy of India. He oversaw India getting its sovereignty from Great Britain in 1948. He was a world-renowned great figure. He was assassinated by the IRA. And the IRA's troubles and the Irish troubles go all the way back since before Oliver Cromwell.
All right. Now, this professor, was she from India?
I think she was an African. I think she's an African professor.
I thought so also.
Nigeria
Britain's
was
colonial
it?
Experience in Africa didn't last all that long if you stop to think about it. It goes back to the late 19th century and it ended after World War II.
Right. Well, sort of.
No,
what
African nation did the British colonize before the late 19th century? What? It wasn't any. They didn't get Kenya or Ghana or South Africa or any of those places until the 19th, 20th century.
Right. Let me ask you this, Sarge. Don't you think that it's done in a stealthy way that Britain still exacts tribute from, even from the U.S.? I think the British, we pay them.
How do you mean pay them? The British just got to pay them.
Okay, I'm going to ask you. I definitely have an idea of how we do, but I'm going to just let you run your mental computer banks, as it were, to figure out how.
Just recently paid off their debt to us in World War II. They paid it off in like 2010 or 2012.
You know the Federal Reserve has never been audited, right?
Oh, yeah, I know that. That's damn good.
Okay, do you think that they're one of the shareholders in the Federal Reserve?
It could be. I don't know for sure.
What do you think is the likelihood that they are?
Great Britain's financial houses, I'd say fairly high.
Okay. I would concur. Where the hell did Brian go?
But look, I don't think it's much worse than the Chinese involvement in it. All the monies and bonds that the Chinese hold, I don't think it's a whole hell of a lot worse. I mean, look what they're doing to Red Johnny, man. Like, they're talking about all the stuff with Donald Trump and letting secrets out. Do you know how many secrets that the Clinton and Obama administration sold to the Red Chinese openly?
Yeah.
Nuclear technology, military technology, they sold it openly over the objections of the Pentagon and the State Department.
I heard about it. And the Clinton Foundation, when they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president, money just poured into that Clinton Foundation, from what I understood.
I know. I mean, you know what MIRV technology is. You know, multiple independently targetable reentry vehicles for nuclear weapons.
I've heard about it. Yes.
Okay. Well, the technology and the supercomputers needed to operate those properly was sold to Red China again over the objections of the Pentagon and State Department by the Clinton administration. The Obama administration transferred from the White House to the Commerce Department authority to transfer certain technologies that enable the Chinese to run their nuclear submarines quieter, giving them a strategic and tactical advantage in the Pacific.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Now all the stuff
that's
coming out of Trump and Mar-a-Lago, we didn't know about it until the FBI started leaking it to the press.
Right. And you know what? I think that's indicative that they have a weak case, that they had to leak it in order to besmirch or attempt to besmirch his image. Really, Sarge, the bottom line is they don't want Trump to run. That's what they don't want. That's what they fear. They fear his running in the, 2024 election?
They do. And they made it clear.
I think Trump and DeSantis, if I'm calling his name correctly, would be a perfect ticket. I think he would be much better than, what was his last vice president? I think he was halfway with Trump, but I don't think he was fully with.
About Ron DeSantis?
No, I'm talking about the previous vice president under Trump. What was his name?
Mike Pence?
Pence. I think DeSantis would make a much better vice president than Pence.
Oh, yeah. No, Mike Pence is not going to run with Trump. If he runs again, I guarantee Trump is not going to nominate him as his vice president. He won't.
And, you know, if there's a fault that I can find with Trump, it's surrounding himself with faithful people.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We agree. We got 55 minutes. I got to do this thing. Tom Brady, I'm a little grouchy because I'm on a special diet. I got to do it. I know.
Uh-oh.
I can't eat anything, Sarge, for 2 days. I can't do it.
What's wrong, Brian? What the hell
all
did
I can
you
do
now?
Is drink, all I can do is drink water. That's all I can do.
Are you
well,
sick
why are you on this special diet, Brian? I know you're...
I am. There's some
well,
things I got to take care of. I've always been sick. No, I got
well,
this,
we know that,
you know,
but we're talking about physically
these,
now.
It's one of these things, Sarge, it's one of these things that we got to take care of our health. And part of it is I'm getting a CT scan, and I'm getting a PET scan tomorrow.
Oh,
what's
so,
PET, Brian?
Huh?
What is PET?
You know what? That's interesting.
Well, what does it do? What does it do?
It's like an MRI.
I think it's a peripheral.
It's an MRI.
Think of topography or something like that.
Yeah. It's like an MRI. You know, they want to take pictures and get images of your body and see if everything's okay. You know, from your head, make sure you don't have any cancer, brain cancer, and all that kind of stuff. If there's what's going on with you and lung cancer, you know. So they're taking a whole scan of my body to see what's going on with that.
Well,
what
symptoms are you exhibiting?
Well, it's like Mr. Solutions, irritability. I have no symptoms.
Well, I saw The Exorcist,
No, I have no symptoms. You know, I'm glad we're talking about this. It is, and Sarge, you know this, and you should know this, and Mr. Solutions, you should know this. People need to get their checkup. And people don't want to go because they don't want to hear no bad news or they blah, blah, blah. I went to get a regular physical. It's been a while. I mean, if you look at me, and I think Melissa has seen me and Laverne has seen me. I mean, if you look at me, I look very healthy. Am I right, ladies? Laverne and Melissa? I don't know.
You look healthy to me.
Thank you.
Well, that's just physically.
Yes. I don't have any symptoms per se. And that's and I didn't realize. I feel healthy. You can hear me talk. I quit the smoking, and I lost 40 pounds, by the way. 40 pounds.
Damn. How much did you weigh, Fatso?
You are so nice to me. I was at my height 263.
And how tall were you?
How tall was I? I'm still there. I'm still 6'2". I haven't shrunk yet. So I'm an old man. I'm looking with a cane and I shrunk. But the thing about it is I felt healthy. I didn't feel. So I went to the doctor and it says I don't have diabetes, but you're pre-diabetic. It's like, what the fuck is pre-diabetic? And so what scared me, and I'm saying this because if anybody, I had no symptoms at all. Healthy, doing the shit that I'm doing, athletic, I walked 5K. I ran a 5K 2 months ago, even when I was a smoker. Nothing. You go to the doctor, and all of a sudden they go, uh-oh. I go, what do you mean, uh-oh? Uh-oh. I go, is that in the medical journal? Uh-oh. You know what was really funny? I had an argument with my doctor. I had to go to the doctor again. It was just recently, Friday. Friday was the doctor. And he goes, true story. I'm there. And the doctor says, well, let me give you an EKG, echocardiogram.
Yeah.
I said, okay, doc. How are you, Mr. Jackson, are you having any problems? No, doc. Are you having any dizziness? No. Stomach ache? No. Swelling? No. None of that. Okay. And I'm going to give you an EKG. Okay. And they hook, they do the thing and wire you up, you know. And he's listening to it. He takes it off of me. And then they say that stupid thing. I'll be right back. Well, what do you mean you'll be right back? I'll be right back.
Did they have you on the treadmill, or was this just static?
No. Just laying down on the
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And after he takes it, he goes, I'll be right back. What do you mean? And then I look through the hole, and they're talking. I'm going, they're talking! What the hell are they talking about? He comes back in the room, and he says, I said, how's my heart? How's my EKG? Swear to God, this is what he said. It's okay. I go, okay? What? I swear to God he said that. Hand to the Lord. I go, what do you mean it's okay? It's okay. What do you mean? Now I'm upset, right? What do you mean it's okay? You're normal. Well, why can't you use a word like strong? You got a strong heart. You look great. You're magnificent. I mean, words like that. I get you're okay. What kind of word? Even the doctor started laughing. He goes, no. You're good. You got a strong heart. You're good. I go, okay. He goes, let me listen to your lungs. I go, all right. You know, don't be surprised if you hear shit. So we're listening to my lungs. And he goes, your lungs are good. I go, yeah, they're good. You know, everything's good. Yeah, you're good. Okay. I'm good. And then he goes, your blood pressure's a little high. I go, well, yeah, I want to prescribe some medication. I'm good, right? I'm good. Why am I on blood pressure medicines? You know what I mean? They always want to put you on some shit. You never leave a hospital without them. They have to prescribe. Every time you go, there's going to be, hey, ma'am, well, you're in great physical health, but you should take this. You know, it's like they're pushing shit on me.
Medical capitalism.
Exactly. I'm going, okay. Then I woke up. No, I'm not kidding. I don't know if you guys are bored or not. I've got to tell you the story. So that when I was at the doctor's about 2 weeks ago, and he goes, okay, because I had you on some other medication. I go, doc, I don't like the medication. He goes, why? Because I'm experiencing headaches. I never get headaches. Why am I experiencing headaches all of a sudden? I'm getting this dull headache. He goes, oh, you're getting headaches. Yeah. It's a demetic. Now I'm worried about shit, right? Do I got a tumor now? He goes, well, it could be the medication. I go, could be? What are we talking here? And then he goes, well, let me check your ankles. I go, well, what's going on there? He goes, let me check if there's any swelling. Why would there be swelling? There was no swelling a month ago. Well, the medication could put swelling. I go, this medication's not good for me. I'm getting swelling. I'm getting headache. I got dizziness. Oh, yeah, you should not drive when you're on it. Why am I on this anyway? I was perfectly healthy. You know what I'm saying? So
they made you sick, Brian.
I know. I'm being serious. I'm not even joking. You know, the sickness that I'm having is the side effects of the medication they put me on.
This is the medication for elevated blood pressure. Okay.
And so,
are you on
anyway,
a statin medicine by any chance?
I don't know what it is, Sarge.
I mean, statin is for cholesterol, though, right?
No, the statin is for cholesterol. You're right. It's not a statin.
Right.
So then we go back to my other doctor, and he goes, I want to run an EK. I want to run a CT on you. Why?
CAT scan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? He goes, I just want to check. There's some things I want to look at. You know, he has my chart, right? I go, what are the kind of things you want to look at? Well, I don't know. I just want to look. Let's get you up to date. I go, okay, that's weird. Oh, by the way, I want to run a special one on you to make sure your stomach and your head. And I go, well, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing in my head, and there's nothing wrong with my Well, we're going to run one on you.
Is that the PTE?
Yeah, it's a special. It's a special test.
PET, not PTE. PET.
It's P as in Paul, E as in Edward, T as in Tom. PET, pet test.
Yeah.
It's pet. It's a specialized
positron emission tomography. That's what it is.
Exactly.
It's what again? Say that.
A positron emission tomography.
Okay. And what does it do?
Well, it's going to look. It's going to take pictures of your body, the inside of what's going on. For instance, if you had tumors,
metabolic
or
metabolic and biochemical reactions inside your body.
Right. Like. Every little your lobes, whether you have heart disease or your problems to have heart, it's the worst of the worst that it will detect that what's going on in your body. Now the last P. Now my see, I changed doctors, right? And I said, Doc, I had this from my other doctor. He goes, yeah, but that was like 5 months ago.
Wait a minute. You had a PET from your other doctor?
Yes. He's the one
this
who
is your second
it.
PET?
Yes, because I changed doctors. He goes, I don't like what I'm seeing. I go, what do you mean you don't like what I, because I guess they have this thing now. I don't know if you guys know about it. It's called a portal. I don't know if they call it where you guys know that I get the results too. I can go into, I get a notification saying your tests are in. And in my portal, I can see the test. I can see all of it. I can see it.
Let me just ask you
this,
Brian. Are there any downsides to the PET? In other words, does it have any drawback?
Your mortality. See, the downside is, and I'm not joking, your mortality. If you have something, if you have cancer or heart disease,
right,
and you're not feeling any kind of symptoms of it.
They do inject them radioactive chemicals into you.
Yes, they
do. More than what you would get from normal doses of radiation in your environment anyway. That's what they say.
Well, no, Sarge, you're absolutely right. And I'm not familiar with this shit. And I go into this room, and I don't know if anybody's bored. The lesson of this story that I'm telling you is I had no symptoms, none.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to find out what's in my body. And Sarge, you're right. They injected me with this blue radiation dye in my body. Now, contrary to what you guys believe, I don't like taking aspirin, and I don't like poison in my body. To me, in my mind, it's poison. You're injecting me with radiation poisoning.
Well, they say it's roughly equivalent to something like a couple of years of the normal radiation you get from your environment, like sunlight and, radon around the house or something like that. It's no more than that.
They say it has a very, very
short half-life, and your body gets rid of the stuff quickly. That's what they say.
That's what they say. Sarge, I'm telling you what happened to me. And you know, they said this, Sarge, hand to God, as soon as they injected me this, they go, you need to stay here for half an hour. And my girlfriend was in the other room. I go, well, let me get up and let my girlfriend know that. And she goes, no. You are now... You cannot, she said this, listen to this, you cannot be around people for 45 minutes. You're radioactive now. Nobody could come near me for 45 minutes because I'm radioactive.
Well, I feel you're still that way, but go on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So they put me into this, and this woman was not nice to me. Have you guys noticed that since the pandemic that there's people, these customer service people are not nice anymore? It's like they hate being there. This woman who was administering this, she was a black woman, and she had no patience with me. None. She's not having it.
Well, I can appreciate that.
Yeah. She's not having no nonsense at all. It's like, okay, I'm radioactive. I'm going to get in that box. And she goes, yes. Are you afraid to get in the box? I go, yeah, I don't want to get in the box. You got to get in the box. I don't want to get in the box. She started getting mean. I had it with you. I go, you can't say that to me. She goes, are you going to
have... Well, was this part of the test you're having to get in?
Yes,
what you call it, the
see,
box.
I can handle,
what's the official
I can
name?
Handle... See, you go in, not many people can handle the MRI machine because you're fully in this thing, and it's so tight and so claustrophobic that you lose your fucking mind, and you're in there for a half an hour. That the bar is technically on your nose, and you are crap. I had an itch on my ass, and I couldn't scratch it. It was driving me crazy. Don't you move. I got an itch. But I got in, did my test. She said to me, you know, I'm very surprised. And I go, what? I thought you're going to – she actually said this. I thought you're going to act like a bitch, but you went through it. I go, what are you? How come you're not – she actually said that to me. She said that to me. I said, when are you going to be nice to me? She smiled. She goes, you're done.
I'm liking this woman already.
You're already liking this woman. So now – but before you get to any of those exams, you got to do some prep. And the prep is like today starts my prep about – no carbs, but I can have food, but no carbs. I can have hamburger, but no ketchup on it because it's sugar. It's one of those things. I can have eggs and I can have sausages, but I cannot have pancakes or, you know, that kind of bullshit. So I have, that's for 6 hours, and then I have to drink water for the rest of the night. Tomorrow, where I have my test, I can have 2 hard-boiled eggs before 6:30 in the morning. Nothing after 6:30, but 2 hard-boiled eggs. That's all I can have. And that's it. So it's driving me crazy. It's driving me crazy.
So wait a minute. You lost me back there at some U-turn, Albuquerque. But look here. Yeah, what, this is a continuation of the test? I thought you already went into the tube. They're going to retest you? What?
Okay, let me, I know, it's vague. They found something.
Oh, they found something.
They found something.
I'll cut it out of you if you like.
I know you would. You'll start with my heart. Okay, now let's work our way down.
Go ahead.
So they found something. And so what I am trying to say to you, seriously, from the sincerity, I joke around, I kid, Brian show, whatever, but I'm talking to you. You guys, if you haven't had a checkup in the last year, and I'm saying year, you got to go. You just got to go. I had no symptoms whatsoever. I just went in for a checkup. Because basically, Mr. Solution was the one. We had a show, and Mr. Solution says, you know, you better go to the hospital, you know, get a checkup and see how your health, quit smoking and everything. It was one of those things. During our conversation, Mr. Solution, I said, you know what, I will go get a checkup. So, yeah, part of our conversation was that.
But I think you had some symptoms, though, Brian. I think you're misleading us regarding.
I don't remember. If you remember any symptoms I have, please say it, because I don't remember any symptoms.
Well, you told me about a lot of symptoms even after you taken the COVID shot. You mentioned being dizzy. You couldn't have.
No. That was a COVID.
That was COVID.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I am lying a little bit.
Where is the problem?
Well, listen, it's very personal. I'll say this, and if you get what I'm about to say, you can figure it out. I should come full circle with it. Is that I noticed something different. And Sergeant and I had this conversation, and we laughed about it and everything, and I got to remember, people are listening to the show. They hear me. So
okay. It's in the genital area?
Yes. I had a symptom in the genital area.
Wait a minute. That has been corrupted years and years ago.
You know what? I'm going to hit you with my dick.
There you go. See, you've been into too much, Brian. You probably have.
I know. All right, Tom Brady,
you
everybody.
Have multiple cases of chlamydia.
Oh, hell no. Will you stop it? Don't say that. That's not true. I have never had an STD in my life. I'll be honest. Never. Hand to God.
You're lying, Brian. Now you're lying.
I swear on my life, I have never had an STD.
Even when you were on that drug binge with the two other women and you didn't bathe for like a month?
I didn't bathe. Hey, it wasn't a month. It was a month and a half, sir. Never had an STD. I don't hang around girls like that. I protect myself. I'm such a narcissistic asshole that I'm saying I'm not giving you my full skin and you don't deserve it. You know what I mean? I'm protecting myself. You're not having my baby. You're not worthy of it. You know, that's the mentality that I had, that even in a drug-induced environment and party environment, I always protected myself because of that narcissistic little voice in my head. You're not good enough to have my baby. I don't even know you. You might give
me
STD.
Well, Brian, first of all,
you know.
Okay, first of all, and you know I'm your friend.
I don't know that at all.
Several stages removed, and I think you're lying, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because someone who is as inebriated and under the influence of drugs as you have been would not take precautions. If you did,
you wouldn't
have done the drugs.
I did.
Okay,
all right.
Well, I'm going to say it's highly unlikely that you did.
Well, you can say all you want to. If I didn't, I would tell you.
All your shit. The little shit you've accumulated.
No, I got really lucky on that. I don't get to a point where I'm drunk that I pass out. I don't get to a point where I'm drunk that I don't know what I'm doing. Me being drunk or inebriated or whatever you're saying is me having a big buzz. See, I need to be in control of my body at all times. I don't know if you understand that. So I have a fear of being drunk to pass out.
But that's what all drunks say.
I have a fear of being inebriated to a point where I don't know where I am and I'm acting a fool and I can hurt myself.
Brian, I hope you do really well. I've got to run, but let me tell you this. They've tested people who say, just like you, I hold my liquor well, I'm always cognizant of what's going on.
I didn't say that.
And they did test on people like that, and they found that they were...
I did not say that.
You did say that.
No.
But you were still careful.
I say that I don't drink.
You never got to the
point. You're not listening to me. I don't drink to the point where I am what you would call a drunk or inebriated that I don't know what I'm doing or I can't drive a car. I'm saying
but that's
to a point where
what they all say until they're tested.
You know, why am I talking to you?
Because
no matter what I say, you're going to come back to your own conclusion. All right, Mr. Solution.
No. What I'm saying to you is that when they test people who say the very thing that you say, it proves otherwise.
Okay. All right.
So go ahead. But I do hope you come out well, though, and I know you will because you're a devil. You're a demon. None of the stuff that impacts normal human beings can hurt you.
Well, I'm going to take that as love. Thank you for your blessing.
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, you're right, man. Demons like you are protected by Satan himself.
Oh, thank you, Sarge.
Look at all the scrapes that Adolf Hitler left. Man, that guy should have been dead about 45 times before he finally did off.
Some guy said when they were having a war, Sarge, on Adolf Hitler, he had Hitler in his sights, and he didn't pull the trigger. He didn't fire.
Yeah, I mean, there was at least 45 occasions this guy escaped death prior to April of 1945. 45 times documented this guy escaped death by the narrowest of margins.
And I'm sure Brian upped him by a factor of, by at least a factor.
You know, friends
yeah,
like you guys compare me to Hitler and a demon. I love you guys.
For you, man. You keep praying a
I know you are. I know you are. Oh, by the way, we'll have the show, of course, but I just said I will not be on the air tomorrow due to stuff that I need to take care of my own self. I should be
Wait a minute. Let me just clarify. So you will you'll go back for a follow-up test?
No, they found something.
You're going to cut it out.
The new doctor that I requested, because I did not like the other doctor, did not like him one bit. The new doctor said your test that you came back 5 months ago, they look good. Of course, I even saw the thing. There's no brain cancer. There's no kidney. There's no this and this. I mean, it was a good test.
Right.
And then he said to me, "I'm not quite sure. I have questions about this test." I'm going, "Why? It was only 5 months ago, right? It's not like it was a year or 10 years ago. 5 months."
And this is when he migrated to the groin area.
It is, yes. And we know what we're talking about. We know what we're talking about. We can go to the groin area. We know what we're talking about. We're talking about prostate cancer. This is what we're talking about, folks. This is what we're talking about. And he is saying, "I want to up to date." I go, "I don't want to go through this again. I really don't want to go through this." And he goes, "I need to know." So I'm going. I am so afraid that test is going to come back different.
Hey, Brian, let
no
me
shit.
Ask you this, if you don't mind. That I think
sure.
it's the PTA test and the rectal
PTA.
Exam. What?
Will you stop it?
Well,
you know
the blood test that they give you where they look for the antigens. But that and the digital or the rectal exam, that didn't pick up anything?
It did. But it was like on the board. I don't know how I could explain it to you. It's like there could be something there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this was like a month
something.
Or so. I'm just giving
We're going to air on caution.
Yeah, sure.
And it just looks to me there's something there. And I want to be sure. I want to be sure. He goes, you haven't had these tests till 5 months ago. And I go, okay. I want to get up to date on these tests that you're going to have. And the test will determine if I'm going to have brain cancer, kidney cancer, liver cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer. It goes, the test that I'm going to take, you know, this test is not cheap. The test that I took before was over $10,000. Just the test, without administering the dye in my arm. That was extra. It was about $15,000 all said and done.
Right.
This test, so this doctor ordered this very specialized test that I'm really suspicious of. It's very specialized, and I even asked the technician, I go, why? He's looking for something. And this test is $25,000.
Well, you know, that's in the U.S. If they were administering that test maybe in Canada or someplace else.
Right.
It may be a third of that cost.
Exactly.
So it's capitalistic opportunism.
Oh, I agree. 100%. 100%. And the shit, you know, is I make a joke. It's like they're taking away my good parts. My girlfriend says, what's going on? I never had these symptoms of headaches, swelling, and incontinence. Oh, my God. I go, what the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? Oh, and then they would tell me, oh, that's because of the surgery or that's because of the medication we're on. Stop giving me this shit. You know what I'm saying? You're basically making me sick.
Well, you know chemotherapy makes you sick, but what's the alternative? Let the cancer keep going?
Well, I haven't got to the chemo yet, but you're right.
But you don't even know if
chemo,
you have cancer.
You know, chemo's going to make you sick, man. I mean, you're going to be sicker than a dog if you got to go through chemo, but, I mean, it does attack the cancer cells, too.
Wait a minute, but Brian, wait a minute. We're putting the cart before the horse. You don't know if you have anything really, right?
They have suspicion.
I mean, it's
they
just suspicion right
reason,
now, right?
The reason they're doing the test, they're kind of no. They kind of know.
It's what?
They kind of know.
It's in the early stages, though.
Well, I don't know. That's why we're doing the test.
Well, the PT, am I saying this correctly, Sarge? Isn't it the PTA, the antigen test for prostate cancer?
I don't know what the PT. I know what you're talking about. Let me correct you. Is that the PTA?
Okay,
is the PSA? It's a PSA.
PSA, okay, thank you.
That's what the test that you're talking about.
PSA.
Huh? It's PSA.
Those are the guys at the airport.
No. Okay. But anyway, those are the tests.
You rubbed off on me, Brian. Go ahead.
No, it's a PSA. It's the PSA test. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. PSA test.
Okay, I'll accept your word.
I'm pretty sure. Well, you need to know. Yeah, it's a PSA test. I just looked at it. It is a PSA test. And it's very important that you guys take it. And the PSA will tell you, they call it lobes. You have 6 lobes in your body. And these lobes have numbers. The lower the number, you're fine. The higher the number, you're in trouble. These are the PSA will tell you if you do have cancer, and if you do have cancer, what stage are you at? There's 4 stages, stage 1, 2, 3, and there's stage 4. Stage 4, if you got stage 4, you're basically a goner, but they're talking about prolonging life at that point. Okay, I think Mr. Solution dropped, so I think we can get off of this. So we'll get off of this. I got 26 minutes. And I think maybe we could change the subject on Tom Brady. Yay! Or do we go? We can go to 2 things. We can either talk about Tom Brady or the seven stages of grief. Which one? Or have we had enough of this already? And we can do that maybe Wednesday with Tom Brady. It's your guys' call because you guys left. Or I can end the show. The only thing I'll end the show. The only thing I'm telling people, I think is Sarge is with me or Mr. Solutions with me. I got a feeling Sarge is with me. The only thing I tell people is get the checkup. Get it done. Because don't wait. You know, if I would have waited till I had symptoms, it would have been a lot worse. A lot worse. Sooner or later, whether you go to the doctor early or you go to the doctor late, you're going to go to the doctor. And, you know, that's it. All right, everybody dropped. I want to say thank you, Sarge, for coming in. Thank you, Mr. Solution.
So when are you going to be back, Brian?
Wednesday, my friend. Wednesday.
All right, I'll be there to be W again.
I hope so. You better bring your best.
I will. That's all I can do. I don't know no other.
Be safe, Sarge, and I'll see you Wednesday.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, my brother. This is Brian Hammer Jackson, and I know that I indulge you with a lot of personal shit, but I'm hoping that, you know, whatever you got out of this show, just go to the doctor, man. Prolong your life. See you guys Wednesday. Thank you, Sarge. See you guys Wednesday.